And it's having an attitude that this world, well, is not my home. I'm just a passing through. We sing that song, and while it's true, it's sometimes very difficult to shift our paradigm to a heavenly view and see ourselves as, well, again, just strangers on this earth, just living here for a little while. That's why we talked about last time we met, where Paul says, you know, for me to live, well, it's fruitful and profitable for you, but to die, that's much better. It's to gain. Like, what are you talking about, Paul? Well, because he really honestly believed that when he died, he would be going home and he'd be with Christ. He's the one that tells us so much about setting our affections on things above and not on things on this earth. He's the one that says, the life that I live now, I live by faith in the Son of God, because he says, I've died. I've been crucified with Christ, and Christ now lives in me. See, it's a whole different paradigm, and it's challenging for any of us to have that point of view. So we talked about in Philippians chapter 3, where Paul says, don't you realize we're citizens, not of this earth, but of heaven. That's where our citizenship belongs. But even though we have citizenship in heaven, that's where our passport comes from, if you had one, from heaven, we are residents on this earth. So how are we supposed to live? And that leads us to our lesson this morning about being sojourners. And you say, well, what's a sojourner? The word is used several times in Scripture, but it's translated, depending on which Bible you use, and I apologize because I had nothing to do with all the translations. Sometimes it's alien. No, not someone from outer space, but alien is someone that does not have citizenship, but lives in a country on a temporary visa or a work visa. Sometimes it's called a pilgrim. That's someone that's traveled or, and they've come and they're traveling through. Sometimes a foreigner. Now, we use that a word a lot. We know foreigners when they live among us because they look different. They talk different. And sometimes it's used in your Bible as a sojourner. I like that word because it sounds nice. That's the title of my lesson. Sojourner is someone that lives here just for a little while, but then they're going home. And that really describes our life here on this earth. And so we want to continue to talk about it. Open your Bible to 1 Peter chapter 1, and we'll see what he has to say there, specifically in chapter 2, where we're going to come back to in just a second, where he gives us instructions on how to live as though we're leaving. But notice, he doesn't start this thinking just in chapter 2, but notice how he begins in verse 1. Peter, he says, an apostle of Jesus Christ to those who reside as aliens. What does your Bible say other than alien? Pilgrim. It's good to see you. A pilgrim, all right? That's this idea that you do not have citizenship in the land in which you're living. So I don't know where these Christians are. He says they're scattered, and he names some of the areas. But he says, even though you live alongside the natural residents of that place, you're a foreigner. And so what are you talking about, Paul? He says, well, Peter, you understand that even though you live and reside on this earth, your citizenship is in heaven. And so you appear different, you act different, you talk different. And that's who I'm writing you to as. And he wants us to have this perspective, which is very difficult because we're so immersed. We're so invested in this life, especially in the United States. But that's why he said in verse 3, you've been born again to a living hope. In verse 4, to receive an inheritance, which is reserved in heaven for you. That's why then in chapter 2, then he goes on to say this. In verse 9, you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. You are a people for God's possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into marvelous light. Now notice verse 10, but the former state, you were not a people. Yeah, we live in the United States. I had citizenship. But in God's point of view, you were not his people. You were out like a people without a country. But now you are the people of God. You have not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. We're the people of God. We belong to a holy family. Our citizenship belongs up there, and that makes us just foreigners on this earth for a little while. That's why in the very next word, he uses those two words and terms. Notice verse 10 or 11. Beloved, I urge you. That's the word beg you. I call you to my side. I'm pleading with you. As aliens and strangers. He says, I want you to abstain from fleshly lusts which wage war against the soul. Keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles. That's the natives, the local residents. So in the things which they slander you as evildoers, they may encounter your good deeds as they observe them, may glorify God in the day of visitation. We're going to look at 3 points, just real simple. That first of all, we are foreigners on this earth. And second of all, we're going to stand out. And third, because we're foreigners, we have to have instructions how to live one appropriately. It's just that simple. But let's look at the first idea, that we are foreigners living here on this land. He uses that language when he says these two words. And again, your Bible might say something different. Mine says that I urge you as aliens and strangers. Now, an alien, we use that term here in the States. Someone that is here from another country, we regard them as an alien. All right, they do not have citizenship here. We often would refer to someone that's visiting as a foreigner. And they come to our states and you go to the national parks and you'll see them from all over the world. And that's because we're a foreigner because we belong to heaven. So I wasn't born there. Yes, you were. No, I was born here in the United States. No, you weren't. Well, formerly you were. But Jesus said you had to be born again to enter the kingdom of heaven. And every one of us that was baptized into Christ died to our old life. And we were born again with Christ and raised to walk in a new life. And we were raised, now our citizenship has been placed, transferred to the kingdom of heaven. So this is a paradigm that we have to shift, and it's hard. I'd really like to fill out my application for a visa and say, citizenship, heaven. I probably wouldn't get the visa because I think you're a quack. But is that the truth of the case? That's the truth of the case. We have to see ourselves that way and start maybe perhaps talking that way. So he uses the word alien stranger. The word alien literally means a temporary dweller. It's someone on a work visa. That's the way we would see it. Someone maybe on a tourist visa or a business visa. They're over here to be a student visa. But they're just a foreigner who lives in a place without the right of citizenship. That's what the word means. That's how it was used in their day. And Peter's grabbing that word and calling you as a person that resides in the earth and you have no citizenship here. None whatsoever. Your legal status, I understand, you're a citizen of the United States. But your spiritual and your identity is not here, it's in heaven. The other word is very similar. It's the word stranger. It's literally someone passing through, that you're just here for a little while and you're moving on. And so it might describe someone that's in Europe. Europe, the countries are like states here, right? They're so small. You can travel from one country to the next, and luckily it's the economic or the European Union. You can travel without a visa. So you're in Germany, eating sausage and lots of good breads. Then you pass down into Switzerland, and you eat lots of cheese, and then you get down into France, and then you have a lot of whatever they eat there, pizza. Okay, that's not true. All right, that's Italy. Okay, so, but passing through. Now, I don't know. I used to a long time think, this is my home. No, it's not. And we have to make this pivot in our thinking, and it's a difficult pivot because, again, we're so emotionally tied to this world, our homes here. I'm talking about our physical buildings, our bank accounts, our name, everything. It's tied here. But that pivot, when you start looking the right way, it changes everything. Your attitude about life, about how happy you are, what you see is important and what's not important. Seeing yourself as a sojourner. I'm a foreigner. I don't belong here. It's not my home. And if you just say, well, yes, it is. We haven't pivoted yet. We hadn't made that change. Now, it's difficult, I acknowledge, but that's why he's urging us to think this way, to have this type of thinking. Now, before we go on, let's just make some comments about that. When you think as a foreigner and you're here for a little while, it changes your whole attitude about everything here. Now, for example, as we all know, Ann and I went to Clovis. I lived there 30 years ago, and when we went there, we got a Ryder truck, and we pulled all our belongings from Kirkland, Washington, down to California. I had a little trailer behind it with some of my, you know, tools and important stuff to me. Everything in the 24-foot truck belonged to Ann. The rest was just, this is a joke. You know, and you couldn't back up because I couldn't see the trailer was backing up. When we got there, our whole life was in that truck, right? And because we rented a house and moved in, and guess what? When we left after 3 years in 1987, I thought it was closer to 88, but she has the calendar, 90s. 2.5 years, we went to Idaho. And guess what we did? Rented another truck and packed up everything we own, plus some more stuff because we had a new kid. Thank you, Heather. They called. It was amazing. We were down. Oh, how's Happy Heather Hafer doing? That's how they remembered her. But we moved to Idaho. Now, let's fast forward. Last Friday, we left a week ago to go to Clovis. And this is really the first time we've been back to be with them. We passed through before. And you know all we took with us this time? 2 small suitcases. Why? Why did I bring 2 suitcases? Why didn't I pack up the Ryder truck like last time? You know the answer. It's so obvious, it's stupid to even ask the question because I was just visiting for a little while. I wasn't moving to make it my home. I was going to be there temporarily. Then I was coming back to my real home. So what if we got down there and the people greeted us, and we had a trailer, and Ann had her china hutch. And they go, so what's that for? So, well, we only can eat off our china because we really like it, and it's beautiful, and can we bring our china hutch in? And then also in the trailer, they said, well, what's that? I said, what's my king-size bed? I didn't know what kind of bed you have, and I only like sleeping in my bed, so I'm moving my bed in. Would that be a little over the top? Then they gave us a nice bedroom to sleep in, and I said, well, let's move out your bed. We'll put in our china huts and our bed, and then we got pictures. Can we hang them on the wall? I said, no, these are our pictures. Well, I don't want to look at your pictures. I want to look at my pictures to remind me of home. He said, well, that's rude. He also, it's stupid. Can I say that about myself? Yes. And you say, well, why is it foolish? Because that's not my home. I'm just living there for a little while. Where you put your belongings and where you decorate and where you build, that marks your home. And if truly our home is in heaven and not in this earth, we're not going to be investing so much in this temporary place. Yeah, if I have a nice bed, fine. But if I don't, that's fine too. If my house burns down, there's no more pictures on the wall, fine. Because I'm here for just a little while. I'm not so emotionally tied anymore. We understand that when we talk about visiting another country or another state. But it's hard to have that paradigm shift when it comes to how we view what's important in this life. That's why Paul and Peter and even Jesus said, lay up not treasures on this earth, but lay up your treasures where? Heaven. That's why Paul said in Colossians chapter 3, set your affections not on this world, but set your affection on things above. That's why Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Don't worry about these things, the earth. I'll give you those, but you build a life there because that's your real home. And when we have that real paradigm shift, I enjoy the things God has blessed me with on this earth, but I'm not attached to them. because I know I'm just a sojourner. I'm a foreigner living here for just a little while. And that's why I know that I'm going to stand out on this earth. Now, it's not as easy to find the foreigner in that picture, isn't it? All right? And so what are some things that makes it easy and natural to identify a foreigner? Well, they look different, right? And then not only do they look different, they talk different, all right? So when I was in Africa, people said, oh, you're speaking English, and you're white, so where are you from? England? Oh, see, you know, it's not just Americans that speak English and white. There's a lot more people in the world. So I had to tell them United States. But not only do we look different, we speak different, then we dress different, all right? And we dress different. You can tell people by their dress, you're not from around here, are you? Well, what was your first clue? Yeah, maybe it was, you know, the flowing robes. I don't know. And then also, we behave different. You notice a foreigner, they just act different in what they eat, how they conduct themselves. And so you have to expect, if you're going to travel abroad, you're going to stand out. You're going to be like a magnet. I think I told you this one story that we were in Uganda in 2015. We walked through this public market, and it was just fascinating. I was trying to take pictures that are candid of people not seeing me take their photo because they're doing these most amazing things. It was just, and so I would take a picture, you know, across the market because I had my long lens, and when people weren't looking, and it was really hard because everyone's looking at the Americans, you know, the Obanese, the white man. So we got to the corner of the market where it's just a big open square. There's two buildings we had to pass through, and I took one look back to take a picture, and guess what? Everybody in the market was looking at us. Everybody. It's like, you could not escape their notice. And is that natural? Is it to be expected? Now, first thing, it makes you feel really alone. When you travel abroad and you live abroad, one of the things you realize real quickly, you're different and you feel really alone. That's okay. As a Christian, we ought to look different. We ought to stand out in this world. Probably the most saddest thing anyone can say about you is if they discover that you are a Christian and they say, you're a Christian? Really? I had no idea. Ouch. And I've had people say things similar, and it makes you look at yourself in the mirrors because why have I been blending in so much to appear as a native that I lost perspective of where my citizenship is? So we have to embrace it. I'm going to look different. I'm going to stand out. And that's okay, and it should be that way. Now, not in a bad way that I'm obnoxious, because when you travel abroad, Americans sometimes have the reputation of being ugly American. And so when you work overseas, as some of you have, and just like Kevin is right now, they do a briefing. Here's the do's and don'ts of how you live while you're in this country. There's certain things you can say and certain things you can't say. There's certain things you can do in the way you dress. Now, Americans often, when they go abroad, they whine because they aren't the way things are back home. Like, I like my eggs scrambled. Can't you scramble it? These aren't even eggs. You know, and they'll complain. So I want fresh squeezed orange juice. You're lucky to get orange juice, period. And that they'll say, well, the beds are too short. I like long beds. If you're not able to travel and accommodate yourself to the customs and the culture over there, don't go, because we leave a bad taste in people's mouths about Americans. Because they whine and they complain. They're so selfish and everything has to be done their way. The same way, what the world thinks about Christ and our Heavenly Father largely depends upon how we conduct ourselves on this earth. So we have to stand out, but it has to be in a good way, in a positive way. Where people say, there's something unique about you. I want to be like you. You're not from around here, are you? That's a compliment. You know, something's different about you. What is it? You look the same. You have the same color skin as I do. You speak English as I do, but something's different about you. Something's different. Now, that's the way it ought to be. You know, Peter and John and the rest of the apostles, for that matter, when they were arrested in Acts chapter 4 and verse 5, it says they were perceived them as someone that had been what? Do you remember? Had been with Jesus. That's the greatest compliment you could ever pay someone. I know you. You're one of those. I can tell just by the way you talk, the way you walk, you've been with Jesus. He's rubbed off on you. You're not one of us. You're one of His. You follow the way. That's what we're talking about, dude. You're going to stand out by your looks, your language, your dress, your behavior. It's going to be obvious to people. Now, it's interesting. When you go to California, the warmer it gets, you know what comes off? Clothes. The less clothes people wear. Now, do our clothes make a statement about who we belong to? Absolutely. It's interesting. When you go to Africa, a lot of Americans want to dress like they do there. And that's so inappropriate. You don't wear shorts there to show all that skin. Women should wear dresses, and men should always wear pants. And it's because you become offensive to their society and their culture if you dress like Americans do. The same way, there are same behavior when it comes to our dress. That you say, well, you stand out. Well, that's because I stand out for the Lord. I don't live in this world. I live for Him. I'm from another country. So when we think about this, say, well, I don't want to be different. Well, embrace it. Because interesting, when you don't want to stand out and be different, we all end up looking the same. Our citizenship is in heaven. So what we have to do is have some instructions. Like I mentioned, the State Department gives you instructions about how to live abroad. Bob Buchanan, who I've traveled with, gave us instructions on how to conduct yourself. Because you can't do things normally. You know, a thumbs up in some countries is like flipping the middle finger. Seriously, and you wouldn't want to do that, would you? That's very offensive. You don't chew gum in Singapore, you'd be arrested, all right? You don't sneeze into a handkerchief and blow your nose in China and other places because it's very offensive. Now, you wouldn't know that, right? Unless you learned their culture and got some training ahead of time, the do's and the don'ts. I was in Israel, and you don't put your feet on a chair, even if you're outside, because it's very offensive. It shows I dominate you when you show the bottom of your feet. In fact, the person came over and said, could you please take your feet off that chair? Sorry, I didn't know. Now, we can learn those things. In the same way, we have to have training how to live on this earth as heavenly citizens. We're foreigners, but we don't want to shame our Father and our Lord while we live here. Does that make sense? And that's why Peter is pleading with them. And we go back to our text. He says, I urge you, brethren. No, he didn't say the word brethren. He says, as aliens and strangers, and here it is, abstain from fleshly lusts, which wage war against the soul. Keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles. So in the things which they slander you as evildoers, that on account of your good deeds, as they observe them, will glorify your God. Now, let's look at these things individually as we go through them. Here he says, got to see yourself as a foreigner. And I know a lot of people want to fit in. Everyone wants to be accepted. And that's fine. But the people that want to be accepted by those of the world usually compromise their faith and fall away. John chapter 12, verse 42 and 43. They're not willing to confess Jesus for fear of the Pharisees, who said whoever confessed him would be put out of the synagogue. So they believed in Jesus, but they wouldn't say it. And it says, the saddest thing, they love the approval of men, the locals, more than the approval of God. So they weren't willing to embrace, I'm going to be different. I'm a foreigner, and that's okay because my allegiance is there. Now, it's a big shift because when you take this role, You're going to find yourself alone. Just like a foreigner that lives abroad, no matter how much you blend in, you'll never be accepted as one of the locals because you're different. I mean, that's not even just true in going to a foreign country. It's true moving to Eastern Oregon, to a small community. Some places, you know, in Amity, you know, you could live there for 20 years and never be accepted as a local. Why? Because you weren't born and raised there and they just don't accept you. My parents experienced that even in John Day. And so we have to embrace that, and it's okay, but you're going to feel alone. And you're going to be challenged because the longer you live in a foreign place, the more distant your home will feel. Because everything's different, it challenges you, you have to get out of your comfort zone, and that's good. Because long as you live around peers that do everything the way you've always done it, you will be stuck and remain the same person for the rest of your life. And until we embrace, I'm a child of God, I'm going to heaven, I'm no longer the same man, and yes, I'm going to look different because I'm going to act different, but that's okay because I'm growing. You're going to expound and grow in areas you've never felt yourself grow before. That all comes with pivoting and seeing yourself as a foreigner, citizenship in heaven, no longer this earth. Now, not only that, you're going to have to first say, I just can't live like the locals anymore. He says it wages war against the soul. Now, we know there are things that are okay on this earth to enjoy in. For that matter, lots of things, but only in the right relationship, like sexuality, get married, right? Not married, refrain. But there's certain things that are wrong all the time, like drunkenness and just immorality in general, or lying or stealing. Now, when we get to Africa, we just have to deal with lying, stealing a lot. It's part of their culture. But when we go there, we don't live that way. Not because we're from America, but because we're from heaven. And so we have to teach and talk about that. And that's what he's saying. Abstain from these fleshly lusts because they destroy your soul. They wage war against it. Then he says, on the contrast, keep your behavior excellent. This is behavior that is... What's beautiful behavior is what the word means. It's beautiful. That's why Paul says, Ephesians chapter 4, let him who lie, you know, or steal, let him steal no more. Verse 28. But let him work with his hands so that he might have some left over to share with others. So before, it's okay to take from those that have an abundance or they won't miss what they're leaving or having or else that are a big corporation and they make too much money anyway. You've heard all the rationalizations, right? So a lot of people are takers, but when you turn and become a citizen of heaven, you're a giver. You work for to provide for yourself, and out of the excess, you give to others. That's why he said there earlier in Ephesians 4, let me read it. I'm just drawing a blank. About speaking the truth. Ephesians chapter 4. We'll just turn there. Rather than try to quote it. Therefore, lay aside, verse 25, all falsehood and speak the truth one with his neighbor, for we're members of one another. And so the Christian, he's going to have excellent behavior because everything he says is going to be the truth. There's not going to be any little deception. We're not going to leave things out on purpose with the intention to mislead people. We're going to speak the truth. Whether it gets us in trouble or whatever, it doesn't matter. We're going to be truth speakers. Then the other thing he says, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such as word for given for edification, according to the need of the moment, that it might give grace to those who hear. So as Christians, we don't whine. We don't speak evil of others. We don't run down the government. We don't run down each other. We don't run down the neighbor. We only speak words that build up. Now, why? Because that's what Christ did, our King. And since we're citizens of heaven, that's how we conduct ourselves. It's excellent behavior in everything we do. That's why we love each other, people that even have hurt us, our enemies.
We're different because that's what Christ did for us. You say, well, you're going to worship again? Didn't you go last week? Yes. And I'll go next week too. Why? Because we live a life of excellent behavior. We don't live like everyone else. We're staying connected to heaven. Let me just say this. When you're living abroad, where's your mind often? Not home. When Ann was over there with me, it was fun to see her texting, Facebook messaging, and WhatsApp. How many of you have WhatsApp? Nobody? All right, good. You use that mostly in Europe and Africa. It's the big, big platform. But you're always connecting with people at home. You're connecting, sending pictures. Why would you do that? Because that's where you belong. And as Christians, what are we always doing? We're connecting. We're always talking to God. We're always praying to Him. Throughout the day, just having continual conversation. Lord, help me in this. I'm having problems. Lord, thank you. What a beautiful day. We're always reading what He has to say to us in His Word. We're always in His Word. We're meditating upon it. Well, why? Because we're always connecting. We're always worshiping because we're always connecting. We're always with one another because we're always connecting. And that's what people from a different country do. They get together to share commonality with one another. And so He says then, understand you're going to be watched. He says, they're going to observe your deeds. You're going to be watched. And we don't want to give anyone in the world occasion to blaspheme Christ. He said, well, that's not fair. I don't like being under the microscope. It doesn't matter. You're going to be watched. They're looking for reason to accuse you. They're looking for reason to slander you. That's what he says. You're going to be slandered. Oh, those Christians, you know. But you live such a way that when they observe your good deeds, rather than speaking evil of you, they end up glorifying God. I don't understand that guy. I do bad to him, and he just does good back to me. I don't understand it. We live such different, circumspect lives that people end up glorifying God, the one they used to slander. Let me just say this too then. When people have made this pivot and are living like foreigners on this earth, they talk about home all the time. They talk about home. My mother talked about Austria as much as she heard it from my grandfather who immigrated from Austria, because that was home. People that moved from Texas and Oklahoma, one of our elders, all he does, wants to talk about Oklahoma like it's the greatest place in the world. And it is, because that's where he was from. And if we're really belong to heaven, what should we talk about with our children all the time? You say, well, I've never been there. Well, I know what it's like. I can talk to them about how glorious and great it's going to be. I can talk to them about my father who lives there. I can talk about brothers and sisters that have already passed on before me that I'm going to meet there. I can talk about heaven all day long going home. And that's what people do when they live in another land and they're just strangers here on the earth. They always talk about that place. And people, after a while, I want to go there. I want to be there too. I want to visit. I want to know those people. I want to know your Father. I want to know the Lord Jesus Christ. See, it's a natural thing. It's not something, well, I got to preach to people. No, it's natural because that's your home. Do you have brothers and sisters? Yeah, family members or neighbors, have we been talking to them as though we are living here as foreigners, someday about to go home? They'll know it if we just live that way. So as we bring it to a close, we're citizens of heaven, but we're just living abroad on this earth. That's a perspective that's hard to change, but it's what the Lord wants us to see. And we'll talk about it a little more next week, Lord willing, where we see that those that live on this earth are not satisfied, ever. In fact, they're downright unhappy at times because they're looking for a better city. They're looking for a country of their own, and nothing down here cuts it. And we'll see in Hebrews, it's a heavenly one. And they're not ashamed to call God their Father. And what's beautiful about it, he's not ashamed for him to do that. So come back next week. We'll look about that heavenly home that we're expecting to go to sometime. If you're with us and you're not a Christian, make heaven your home. Be willing to confess that Jesus is your Lord, that he died for your sins so you could become adopted into his family. Be buried with him in the waters of baptism where he'll wash away your sins and you'll truly be born again spiritually. He'll write your name down in the book of life and you'll be citizens of the kingdom of heaven. When Ann and I finished on Wednesdays preaching in Clovis, we had a fine reception. I looked in the directory to familiarize myself with all the people that we knew. There's 250 on Sunday. And I'd see the pictures. I know that, or the name. And so I know that person, the Birds or the Watkins. And then I look at their picture and go, I don't have a clue who they are. Because they changed so much over the years. And the 10 and 15 and 20-year-old kids, now 30 years later, they're 50-year-olds. And they have 20-year-old children themselves, a whole generation we've missed. So while it was a grand reunion to meet people that I haven't seen and I haven't seen for 30 years, we got to meet a whole new generation of people as well. And sadly, there's some that pass. And we'll never see again on this earth. And probably one of the most impacting things was seen, as I mentioned in our welcome, it was Jim Ruby. Because he came out of the world and he just was, him and his wife were just flourishing as Christ, in Christ, teaching classes, and they were just a part of the church and everyone loved them, but Satan had his way with him and took him out. But he came to service on Tuesday night. I met with him and Ann and I on Wednesday before service, and he came again Wednesday night. And on the way to service that Wednesday night, I told Mike Watkins that, you know, if we could somehow see Jim come back to the Lord, it would make all this so worth it. So at the end of the lesson, I was given an invitation just like this. Then we sang the song. And it was on the last five words, I was gathering my stuff and I started to walk to my seat and I almost walked into Jim Ruby. And I was shocked. I mean, truly shocked. And I said, are you coming forward? What a stupid question, because he's standing up front. He says, yes. Well, I just wanted to make sure because I did not expect it. And after 20-some years living like one of the locals, he decided to repent and come back to the Lord and restore his faithfulness to Jesus Christ. Afterwards, people were weeping, people were hugging him. That was just one reunion here on this earth with one person that comes back, Lord. And we know angels in heaven rejoice. And it makes everything worth it because this world is not my home. And if we miss heaven, we say it, it's not a cliche, but if you miss heaven, you've missed out on everything. It's the only thing that matters. Let's keep that focus. And if we can help you this morning, don't wait till tomorrow. And if you have to wait till the last two words of the song before you get the strength to come forward, wait till the last. I'll wait with you. All right? Come forward, and I won't ask you why you're here. I think I'll figure it out. But we love you. We want to help you. Won't you come as we stand and sing? And Jim Ruby, if you're listening, stay faithful.